Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, February 27, 2012. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show is being brought to you by abookin90days.com, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Celebrate the Real You, Stop Shooting on Yourself, with my guest, marriage and family therapist and author Gladys Anderson. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Whether you're listening live on the phone or you're over on the website, perhaps you're one of those in the chat room, or you could be listening to the show from our archives. In any case, I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. Now, if you want to click the follow button, you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week telling you about upcoming episodes. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. In order to get at that goal, each week I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, and all of those things which contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is Celebrate the Real You, Stop Shooting on Yourself, with my guest, Gladys Anderson, who is a certified life coach, licensed marriage and family therapist, consultant, workshop facilitator, and author of the soon-to-be-published book, Master the Genie Within, Uncover, Embrace, and Celebrate the Real You. She coaches women in the art of saying no and how to protect their precious time and energy by setting strong boundaries to create a uniquely crystal-clear vision for the satisfying careers and relationships they truly want. In her spare time, Gladys likes to travel and experience new and exciting adventures. She is an amateur genealogist, avid reader, loves techie stuff, jazz, and enjoys reading mystery novels. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Gladys Anderson. Hi, Gladys.
Hello, Flora. Thank you so much for that introduction.
You're most welcome. I see we like a lot of the same things, so that's already we're off to a good start.
Good. That's a good start.
Now, I think I want you to start off by telling us about your upcoming book. What led you to write your new book, Master the Genie Within, Uncover, Embrace, and Celebrate the Real You? What led you to that?
Oh, I'd be happy to share that with you, Flora. You know, a big part of why I came to write this book was based on a lot of my own life experiences, the journey that I've been on for a lot of years. And also the work that I do in my therapy practice and coaching practice with women. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the women who come to me are very intelligent women, professional women, women who in essence are looking to uncover their real selves, mm-hmm. just like I had been for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they're stuck in what I call an emotional time warp. And by that, I mean they're stuck in beliefs about what they should be, who they should be, and how they should be, how they should act, react, and relate to the world, other people, and more importantly, how they believe, what they believe about themselves and the world. And most of the time, a lot of these shoulds are wrapped up in those internalized messages that makes it very difficult to make decisions based on what you really want, to be assertive, and to speak up calmly and with clarity.
So it sounds like you have a lot of personal and professional experience that led you to know that this is going to be a very important message that people will need to hear, and women in particular. And you've probably been sharing this message already in
Absolutely.
Your blogs and your speaking and with your clients, but now we're going to have access to it in your book, so I'm glad you chose to write it. Now, who's going to most benefit from your book? What's your target audience? Who do you think will benefit the most?
The book is written mostly from a woman's perspective and for women, but that does not mean that men cannot also learn some of the things that I reveal in the book, like how to uncover those messages, those hidden messages that start early on for most people, those messages that are in misalignment with who one really is. For example, you know, I was a very inquisitive kind of a child, always asking, well, why and what if? And I remember it was just feeling I had, I wanted to know things. And so, now remember, I said I was inquisitive, but the people around me, the adults around me, were sending me an opposite message. Some shoulds, like you shouldn't ask questions, right?
Yes.
Or you should just conform. And that somehow my curiosity, my inquisitiveness would cause me some harm or put me in danger. You can't do that, or don't think like that. That's not the right way to think. You know, those kind of messages. And we don't look at them, of course, growing up as messages like that. It's only later in life, I think, that we begin to realize that we've received some pretty damaging, almost, messages that we base our lives on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you send those kind of messages to an impressionable, especially a little girl, who's one day going to need those questioning skills, she's going to need those risk-taking skills just to navigate through life's rough terrain. And so for me, the result of that message was that I couldn't trust my own instincts. I couldn't trust my own decisions. And what it did was formed a foundation of fear and self-doubt that was a part of me for a good portion of my adult life. And I find the same thing with a lot of my clients, that, you know, they're adults now, but they're living off of these internal messages that they received early on.
That's interesting. So our lives can, if we are stuck or we're misaligned or we're experiencing difficulty in moving forward after our goals, sometimes we're still being guided by that little child within who got those original messages. And for someone who's never explored or examined those, they may perhaps wonder why they're stuck or why they're having a problem. So for that kind of person who has that inquiry, it sounds like your book is perfect for them. So if you're questioning and wondering, this is the book for you, because for sure there's something that we've picked up early on that's holding us back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also the book is written with, you know, women in mind, for the most part, women tend to be more comfortable at some point in their lives communicating about the expectations and the roles and the messages that they have received. However, men can also benefit from the book if they're willing to look at some of the shoulds that they embrace from society, from their families, from the culture. Things like, shoulds like, I should take care of my wife, or I should be the breadwinner in the family. I mean, that comes from a message. And so it plays out in a lot of areas in your life.
Well, as we are trying to find our authentic self, you encourage us in your book to get rid of the shoulds that we impose on ourselves. What do you mean by these? What are some of, you've already named a few of these shoulds. So the shoulds we get when we speak out or we speak up or when we have just what I think is a natural childhood curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And what are some of the other shoulds? Do we have others that pertain to gender roles or?
Oh, absolutely.
Aspects, yeah.
A lot of, you know, as I said, I'm a family therapist, and a lot of times I see couples as well where the roles that are assigned in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, women should take care of all the interior of the home.
Mm-hmm.
That's an expectation, a role expectation that came from a message somewhere early on.
Yes.
Or that, you know, I can't mow the lawn, that's my husband's job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to many women who love mowing lawns. I am not one of them.
Me either. But we applaud the ones who want to.
Absolutely. But you design the relationship dynamics, more or less. So if that's the way, you know, it plays out for you, and nope, everybody's happy, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing either one of those things, if you, you know, you maybe you're not one of these women who really wants to be in charge of the interior.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it anyway because you think you should. Well, you could either get somebody else to do it or just not do it. You always have a choice. But because those role expectations, because those messages are so deeply buried, that we just start to operate on autopilot.
Yes, yes.
Because I should. Well, I should be the one to decide what color to paint the dining room. You may have no interest in doing that. But in your mind has told you, you have developed this mindset that I should be the one to decide.
Yes.
But look at what that may be doing to you internally.
Yes.
You're frustrated. You're stressed about it. You don't really want to do it. But you do it anyway because you think you should.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about even in our choice of toys and choice of playtime activities as kids, we were just continually bombarded with the shoulds because I know when I was growing up, if a boy picked up a doll and wanted to play with the doll, oh my goodness, that was a big should not.
Yeah.
And vice versa, if a girl wanted to romp and play with guns and or even play certain sports, that was a big should not. So even in our play, I mean, in all facets of our lives as children, we were continually pushed around with these shoulds from playtime to school time to bedtime. Everything that we did was unfortunately wrapped up in these shoulds. And of course, we grew up with them and planted, and of course, they caused problems in our lives.
Absolutely.
Now, what steps must we do to get beyond these shoulds?
Well, some of the things I talk about in the book, Flora, are ways that you can learn what these messages are and how you can free yourself from those thoughts and those actions and reactions that lead to this this whole should situation, if you will. You'll learn from the book how to use your inner genius to unleash that real you, the person that is not operating out of the shoulds, but making choices based on what you want and what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. I like in the book where you talk about the three questions that we should ask ourselves when we are confronted with a choice of doing something. You want to share what those are?
Oh, sure. Yeah, one of the things I talk about in the book is as part of how to find out where some of these hidden messages come from. If you are operating in that should mode, here are some questions you can ask yourself. One, is it good for me? Now, we all use creative ways to get what we want, to get our needs met. But if you should ask me to do something that I don't really want to do or I feel is not good for me, while it very well may be good for you because you're asking. So that's what you need or want at that time, and you're asking. It may be something that will require me to give more time, more energy, or sacrifice than I'm willing to give at that time. So if I say, no, there's no need for me, I don't need to feel guilty about that. I've just made a choice that's based on what's best for me. It's good for me to say no, because it's going to take up more time, more of my energy, or just something I cannot or I'm not willing to give. That's the first question. And really, you know, this is a mental exercise in a sense. So you can go through it fairly quickly. It's going to take me a minute to explain it, but you really, if once you get in the habit of doing it, you can really go through it quickly. And the second question you ask yourself, is it good for the other person? Until you turn it around. An example may be, say on your job, somebody kind of hints that they want you to cover up something they've done or some mistake they've made. Of course, in the short term, it may be helpful for them because they won't get into trouble. But you're also at the same time, if you go ahead and do it, you're putting your reputation and your integrity on the line. So revisit question one. Is it good for me?
Right.
You see. Yeah, it may be good in the short term for that person, but it's not going to be good for you because you have to live with yourself.
Yes.
And the final question is, do I want to do it? Now, that's a biggie for most people. Because a lot of times we take on these projects, these commitments, these chores that we really don't want to do. We do it because we think we should. Or you just want to please somebody else. And, you know, excuse me, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being generous and giving. But when you're doing that out of a sense of should, then you're eroding your own authenticity. There's nothing wrong with saying, gee, I won't be able to accommodate that request. Or that's just not something I'm willing to do. And you don't have to explain it. You see, that's where a lot of people get into trouble.
They sure do.
Yes. You try to explain it away. Well, I can't do that now. But, you know, you start this whole story you create, and that just gives the other person more fuel to press you
to
do what they want.
That's right.
You see. So if your answer to any of these two questions are no, then don't do it. And if you do it anyway, you're going to end up harboring frustration, anger, resentment, and self-doubt about what you're doing. And that's just going to eat away at your real true self, the real you, your authenticity.
And I wanted to add to this because as you were speaking about these three questions, I know that there have been times when I've been guilty of saying yes or no to one of these. I said yes when I should have said no. But the good thing is that when we discover, because I'm very guilty of overcommitting and doing things that I really do enjoy, that I do want to do or did want to do at the time I agreed to do it, and then discover that I continue to take on more and more and more, and to the point where I'm overwhelmed. So I want to add to what you're saying, that when we discover that, if we make that mistake, as I have done many times in my life, of getting overcommitted, there's nothing wrong with stopping what you're doing when you discover it and say, hold it. I'm overcommitted. I'm going to have to step down from this responsibility. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Or say nothing. Just step down. And I mean, it's good to acknowledge, and you certainly want to tell people if you've given them a promise. But there should be no guilt in that doing that, because It's for our lives. It's for saving ourselves that we're doing that.
Absolutely.
And also for the other person, because you mentioned resentment. And nothing's worse than having somebody do something for you that
and
they resent. They have an attitude or they're harboring some kind of anger about it. Then that's
right.
No good either.
No, it's not. And especially if it's you, if you're the person harboring that resentment because you're doing things that you really didn't want to do. So
yeah.
Again, those three questions. Is it good for me? Is it good for the person making the request? And do I want to do it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about the DNA because I know you mentioned in your book that there are things we can do to find our authentic selves, and we all know, or I think we know, what DNA is when it comes to the chemical content of our bodies. What do you mean by DNA in your book?
Okay, I'm glad you asked to explain that and made reference to the scientific meaning of a DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each of us has we come with our own scientifically identifiable DNA. Scientific. And, you know, that's made up, found in all of our cells. And we probably heard about DNA testing for in criminal cases, or it's even used to provide links to ancestry, provide proof paternity. It can reunite adoptees with birth parents. There's all kinds of scientific ways that DNA can be used. And the important piece of what I want to share is that I look at it as a code. That's what it is, a genetic code. And so I prefer to think of it totally unscientific in another unique way. And I call it DNA, divine natural attributes. And the way I define that is it's a code inside of you that holds all the answers. Your questions, the key to your success, what you can do and what you are capable of doing. And for some people, that belief may come from a higher power, the universe, or God, or whatever belief system you may have. But it most likely involves some form of belief that there's a greater force that's influencing your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that belief hinges on the fact that you already have everything within you that you need. You're like hardwired to live with your life with joy, purpose, and abundance. And, you know, sometimes we come up with these ideas and these thoughts that we don't know where they came from. And so sometimes we just miss them. But that's your DNA, your divine natural attributes kicking in, saying to you that you already have what you need. You're already programmed, just like the program for your computer. You know, most of us don't program computers, but we know computers run off programs.
Yes.
And so when you press a button on your computer, you expect certain things to happen because it's already programmed in. And so what we have to learn to do is to tap into those DNA buttons, if you will. Just tap into it. Because it's already there. The code is already there within us.
And I think one of the things that we do is sabotage our own DNA. Because one of the activities you have in your book has to do with identifying your talents and identifying things you enjoy doing. And how many people stay on jobs that they hate because they're not using their talents and gifts there, they are not enjoying what they're doing, and for some reason they think they have to stay there. Now,
absolutely.
They often will say, well, this is how I make money. Well, there's probably a way you can make money using your talents and gifts and things you enjoy doing just as easily as the things you hate. So I think when we are out of alignment, when we're unhappy or discontented or sad or whatever, I think it's because we are not honoring the DNA that we have within us, the spiritual version and the the genetic code. When we're trying to go against those, then we are going to have conflict. We're going to have problems.
You're absolutely right. And you're so right about people staying in jobs and in relationships and situations don't honor who they really are. But they're in those situations because of the shoulds they have in floating around in their mindset. And, well,
yes.
I should have a good job. I should have. So I have a good job, so I should stay on it.
This job is paying me, and I have benefits, even though it is eroding my insides.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we, as a culture, I don't know that all cultures have this problem, but certainly in American culture, it's pervasive, and thankfully, more and more people are pulling out of that and recognizing the damage that that can do
yes.
to your life. Now, when you talk about celebrating ourselves, I'll bet that most people think or used to think that celebrating is something somebody else should do for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you say we should learn to celebrate ourselves. How do we celebrate ourselves?
You are absolutely right. Most people do think that a celebration is something somebody gives you. Like somebody gives you a milestone birthday party. Somebody
mm-hmm.
gives you a graduation party. Somebody gives you a milestone anniversary party. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You think your family and your friends should put together a celebration for some achievement that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is we so often overlook those day-to-day accomplishments.
Mm.
Like when we've done well, when we'll return to school late in life. You know, I did that. It was pretty late when I went back for my master's degree. But I never stopped to acknowledge, wow, I aced that paper. It was like, okay, that's one paper down. Let's move on to the next. So, and I know I'm not the only one. We all do this. Or, you know, you may complete a project at home or work. You breathe a sigh of relief. Whew, that's done. But you don't stop to relish in the moment. Wow, pat yourself on the back. I did that. Oh, I finished that project ahead of time. Or somebody complimented you on it. Like, oh, I really did a good job. Because we are so shrouded with all these shoulds, well, you shouldn't toot your own horn, right?
Yes.
That's a should. You should. You just don't do that. But there's nothing wrong with that, because when you get into the habit of celebrating things that you accomplish for yourself,
mm-hmm.
celebrating yourself, then you can reward yourself for those successes, no matter how small you think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that does for you, it builds your self-confidence and it affirms your worth.
Yes.
And
it
so
also
you will
does
look
another thing. Excuse me. Well, you know, when you were saying that, it reminded me, too, that if we celebrate the little achievements and we feel our self-worth, we won't be dependent on other people to compliment and praise us, because if we're looking outside for that, we're going to always fall short, because other people don't always give us the celebration we deserve at the time we need it.
And see, again, like with most things, I tell my clients, well, you start small. So if you began to celebrate, you lost 5 pounds. So it took
mm-hmm.
you a month, 2 months, no matter how long it is, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate that.
That's right. That's
see.
Right.
Or you went to the gym every day for a week or a month.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate that. That's something you accomplished, and you don't
exactly.
need somebody to reward you for it. Reward yourself. Go out and buy yourself a bouquet of flowers, or
mm-hmm.
treat yourself to a latte or whatever your fancy may be. But do something to celebrate that accomplishment.
Hmm. And one of the things I want to point out, and then we're going to bring our show to a close, because we're
already
in the show already. But I want to point out that when you do these things, don't be surprised that some people around you are not going to understand. Because when you were saying buy a bouquet of flowers for yourself, it reminded me of when I was preparing for my 50th birthday party. Yes, I'm more than 50. And I was out shopping for an outfit, and I decided I was going to have this themed party. Well, one of the places I went to buy my outfit, the clerk was trying to be helpful by asking, you know, what's going to be the theme of the party and so forth, and I was telling her that I was giving myself a party. When I said that, she said, "You're giving yourself a birthday party?" I said, "Yes." She was so surprised, and I mean, she acted as if she had never, ever heard of this. And I was surprised that she had never heard of this, but somehow or another, that implied to me that she felt I shouldn't be giving myself a party. Somebody
Absolutely.
Else should be giving
the
party and planning it.
But
who better than me to plan my party, and that way I get exactly what I want
exactly.
in my party.
But again, I mean, such a strong reaction as you described from that woman.
Yes.
Obviously was a should somewhere in there in her mind.
That's right.
That you should not be giving yourself a party. You know?
That's right.
But why not?
It's your birthday. It's mine, and I know what I want. But be prepared. That's what I'm saying to listeners. Be prepared for the fact that others around you who still are operating with these shoulds may react negatively to your beginning to move out of that into celebrating yourself. Be prepared for that, because I know growing up we got a lot of messages about not tooting your own horn, as you said earlier, and about being modest and
mm-hmm.
being low-key and all that stuff. And I can't tell you the problems that has caused for me, because if you don't know your self-worth, you're going to have difficulty asking for what you really deserve in this world in terms of relationships, in terms of a job, in terms of money, if you have a business, getting paid what you're worth. All of those things are going to come back to bite you if you have self-worth issues. So this is not just something we're talking about that's intellectual. It's real, and it impacts your whole life.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Flora.
Now, when are we going to be able to get our hands on your book?
Well, I'm so excited to share with you that later this spring it will be available on Amazon and
okay.
on my website. But
okay.
in the meantime, I'd like to invite your listeners to hop over to www.coachforyourdreams.com. Sign up to join our self-care circle, and you'll be on the mailing list to be notified when the book is available.
Oh, that's good. Okay,
yes.
So coachforyourdreams.com is where we can sign up, and that way we'll be notified, and we won't have to keep running over to Amazon and,
I will absolutely send out emails to those people who sign up for the self-care sex circle.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This has been enlightening. I'm delighted that you are giving us some tools with which we can become more empowered, because this is critical to our happiness and to our success. I want to remind the listeners that this episode will be available here on my site at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can return to listen to it anytime and also, of course, tell others about it. Today's show is brought to you by abookin90days.com, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. I invite you to join me again next Monday, March 4th, 2012, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative and exciting show. I'm Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I'm going to ask you to have a blessed week, and remember,
color your life happy,
color,
every day you can choose, if you choose. There's no way you can lose.
Color your life.